Well, again, good morning and welcome each one of you, especially good morning to our fan base. That might be stretching it, but everyone join us on YouTube and Facebook. And again, we've got a nice following out there of people joining us. So again, welcome. You're part of the family. You know, before I begin on the message, this week's been quite a roller coaster ride. I think sometimes that's good in life. It keeps us real, keeps us grounded. I made a complete horse's backside of myself because I allowed, and notice the key word is I allowed, Satan to get a hold of my heart, and I spewed some anger and hate over a situation. But it's amazing how God works in those situations and brings you back around, kind of convicts you, makes you see the error of your ways. And it's amazing how you see love is the answer. Love will fix the situation. So, again, sometimes we need reminded or maybe knocked down a peg or two to be brought back up. But also, two great conversations I had this week. And it just reinforces how messed up our world is. How many people out there, people in here, are hurting. And I don't care what they say. Pain is pain, is it not? It's your pain. It's your pain. You're the one going through it. And who am I to say, get over it? It's been enough time. Mary, get over it. Marty, come on, really? What's the tears for? No. I'm a knucklehead if I'm saying that. What I should be doing is praying for you. What I should be doing is standing next to you. But you know, I ask you as a personal favor for me to do this. The homeless in Tusk County and surrounding areas, it's bad. And I got my eyes opened up to it a little more this week. And I'm going to ask each of you to keep a prayer for the homeless in your prayers. Because let me ask you something. What we take for granted. How is an individual supposed to get his life on track when he has no place to call home? When he has no place to take his children or her children? What are you supposed to do? When the homeless shelter is full, when family doesn't want you, you got no vehicle, you got no job, please tell me, and if you have something, I want to know. But where do you go and what do you do? I spoke with the Adams Board this week, and it really enlightened me, and I feel like God's saying, hey, Jim, churches need to get involved. Because, I hate to say it, that could be any one of us, couldn't it? You think you might be all that, you think you might have your life in order, but all it takes is one major event, one tragedy, and it can knock you for a loop, true? So thank God, number one, what you got with a joyful heart, but also think about those who do not have. And I don't want to hear this, well, they're lazy there, but you know what, you don't know. I don't know their situation, true? You know, you might want to remove that big old redwood in your eye before you start judging people. But anyway, please, keep them in your heart. Keep a solution. I'm not going to try not to go there, but the politicians, they've made it so much buffooey. Red tape to get through to help somebody. Oh, we've got a plan in a year. Well, what are you going to do for the people between now and a year, true? We need to do something now. So pray about it. Also, people are hurting. Now, Brother Eric, he was coming up. He got bumped back a little bit. But the mental illness in our county, in our area, maybe here, even in your families. We got some serious issues going on. So again, I ask you, keep them in your prayers. Because you never know. It might one day be you, could be your loved one, could be your spouse. Pray, pray, pray. All right. Now, to the message. Today's scripture's up on the board. This is part two. Am I getting warm yet? And we started last week on talking about good old lukewarm Christians. Lukewarm Christians. Let me open up with this little story here. Let me ask you first, how many of you have swung an axe before? Raise your hands high. All right. So you know the thrill of seeing that axe go right through that piece of wood, and you've also felt the pain in your hand as that axe hit a piece of hard stuff and just bounced. Remember Bugs Bunny cutting, or he'd set Daffy Duck or somebody up, or Coyote and them, and yeah, does not feel good in the hands, does it? Once there was a young man who had been assigned as a woodcutter in the king's kingdom of organized jobs, and this job circuit helped the people of the realm. Everybody did their job in the kingdom. Now the new woodcutter began his new job with a passion, cutting 18 trees down in the first month. The king was so impressed by this man's effort, his dedication to his work. The next month, the woodcutter put forth the same effort, but unfortunately was only able to produce 15 trees for the month's end, despite all his hard work. Now at the end of the third month, the woodcutter had again tried so hard to do his best, but he could only produce 12 trees. Now, unfortunately, due to his lack of producing the trees, this brought on a visit from the king to see what was going on because the wood was so vital to the kingdom. They cooked with it. They heated with it. This was a major job. The woodcutter sat there and tried to explain to the king that perhaps he had lost his strength. Perhaps the work was just too much for his young body. The wise king thought for a few moments and then looked at the young man with a concerned look on his face and asked him, "My boy, when was the last time you sharpened your axe?" The woodcutter looked down and told the king that ever since his first day on the job, he had not taken one time to sharpen his axe. Not once in the last 3 months. A dull axe, not taking the time to sharpen it, to do your job. Now, I think we can say there's a lot of common sense revealed from the old king. As we start to talk about lukewarm Christians, about our relationship with Jesus Christ, personally, individually, allow me to ask you, how many of us take the time to sharpen our axes on a daily basis when it comes to serving God, when it comes to serving Christ? You know, last week we started into a little venture into the world of lukewarm Christians. And then more importantly, how God feels about lukewarm Christians. Now, a little test here. Would you say God loves lukewarm Christians? No. What did he say he would do? Spit them out. Now, remember we talked about that good old water in the hose on a hot summer day? You know, if you're thirsty, you grab it, you start sucking on it, what happens? Pugh, hot. You got to let it run to get that good old cold water flowing. So I think that's one of the best ways we can relate to that. Think of that warm, hot, nasty water tasting like rubber coming out of a hose. That's how I relate. And it goes along with our scripture. Now, for the third Sunday in a row, I'm going to be using Revelations 3, 15 to 16 in doing this, our main focus. I hope you understand the importance. I can't stress that enough, the importance of its meaning. In Revelations 13, 15 to 16, coming from the English Standard Version. "I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Spit you out of my mouth. Last week we started to talk about a certain group of people. All right, I'm going to try to get it right this time. The Laodiceans. Close enough. I tried YouTube. Steve told me how to say Laodicea. I'm giving it my best. But we talked about this group of people in part of current-day Turkey. As it was stated last Sunday, Laodicea had become the wealthiest, most important commercial center in the region of the time. Had three big industries: banking, wool, and medicine. Now, unfortunately, the local water supply was horrible, so what they had to do, they had to build aqueducts, bring it in under the ground, or bring it in through the ground to the place. The water was not good. They were cursed. We can say physically the people were blessed with wealth and industry, but cursed with bad water. As well as this group of people were neither hot nor cold in their relationship to God, just good old lukewarm. Now, if you get into the scripture here, the seventh and final letter to the churches of ancient Asia Minor is to the church in the city of Laodicea, found in Revelations 3, 14 to 22. And I'll read that for you right now. That's Revelations 3, 14 to 22. And this is coming from the English Standard Version, if you'd like to turn to that. Revelations 3, 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you were wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that they may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and be with him. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So keep in mind this morning, this was not simply John's message to those in Laodicea, it was a message of the Lord. In contrast to the other six churches, these people, their church, has nothing to commend for it. Now think about that for a moment, my friends. A church that has nothing to be commended for. A church that basically is idle. Now this church was called out by the Lord. And to me, that comes with much meaning as well as much concern. Now can you imagine being called out by God himself? What if Jesus Christ himself calls you and I out? Through a letter? Through a message, through a text, however, what message way Christ wants to use. What if you get a text? Jim Manbeck, Dave Everett, what are you doing? Because you're not doing nothing for me. Calling our church out, calling Roxford Church out for its failures. Now, I can only speak for me, but I do not believe that it would be very pleasant for the Lord himself to say, Jim Manbeck, you and your church do not meet my standards. Jim Manbeck, you and your church are not serving me in the ways I have called you to do so. Jim Manbeck, you and your standards, they stink. That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? An eye-opener as well. How many people would self-reflect? How many people would just run and cry? How many people would give up? How many people would ignore? Jesus begins the message with condemnation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And here it is, typical mankind response. You say, we say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? As a result of their conflict to spiritual things, Jesus would have nothing to do with them. Did you hear me? Nothing to do with them. He would spit them out as the people of Laodicea would spit out the junk water that flowed from the underground aqueducts to their city to eventually to their mouths. With their apathy, lack of emotion, lack of interest, they fell to a spiritual blindness. They claimed to be rich. They claimed to be blessed. They claimed to be self-sufficient. Now, church, I can almost hear it now. And I can see it. If you would take today's world and put it back down there, back then. Coming to you live from downtown Laodicea, this is Rosie O'Donnell and Star Jones from The View with our special guest, the mayor of Laodicea, Mr. X, or maybe just X is however they identify, who will inform the viewers on just how awesome this group of people are, along with how they do it on their own and how they succeed on their own. Now, in saying so, for the low price of only $99.99, Mr. X and his group of qualified counselors can advise you on how you can be awesome as they are. Think about that. Remember the info commercials? Now, yeah, I'm taking a shot at The View. I don't like The View. But you can put whatever news group you want to be, downtown, doing interviews, telling Mr. Mayor, Mr. Governor, whoever, how did you do it? How did the people do it? We want to know when we're willing to pay. Remember them with the spray cans, the bald guys, the paint? Those info. I can just, that's what came to me. You know, you're up at 3 a.m. on a Saturday night. Shouldn't be, but you are, and that's what's playing. How awesome you can be on your own. Operators are standing by. Thanks for joining us this morning. Oh, and by the way, as far as the whole Lord God, that nasty little rumor going around that he is a God of love and a God who will help, that stuff that's been circulating around town, Mr. X, the mayor, has assured the View as well as the people of the surrounding regions, they do not need God. Oh, wait, there is no God. What you can do is download on our special app and we can show you how God is dead. You are your own God. I want you to think about that for a moment. Is that not what we're hearing today more and more? AI? Teaching it in school. Heck, I know pastors that are using it for their sermons. I'm not. Kind of concerns me, don't it? We're losing our ability to think. We're losing our ability to speak. First God, then what? The breakdown. Now, is Brother Jim being a little dramatic this morning? Yeah, maybe. But are you getting my point? Because it is a point that needs to be made. Honestly, my friends, from atheist, agnostic, to lukewarm Christians, please tell me, is there really that much of a difference? Is there? Riddle me that one. Is there that much of a difference? Well, maybe you and I can agree that, yeah, we can segregate them and define who they are, that there is a difference between them. But what about through the eyes of God? What would God think? Heck, at least the agnostic or the atheist, they stand up for what they believe in. True? Most atheists are pretty proud. They'll stand up. They'll fight you at least. At least I admire they stand. You know, they'll stand up for what they believe. But what about the lukewarm Christians? Just dragging that gimp leg along, trying to get there. Do you think the devil really cares how you identify this day and age or back then? Do you? Do you think he really cares how you identify? Look at how we're arguing over identification. And that's fine. Man, you keep arguing over how you identify. Heck no, he don't care. You want to know why? He is just happy to have you. You think Satan cares if you're lukewarm or an agnostic, atheist, Buddhist? Do you think he really cares? No. You know why? He's got you. Now, you might say that's harsh, Jim, for a lukewarm Christian, but it's the truth. I'm sorry, that's what I truly believe. It's the truth. It's a big old lie. And again, Satan is happy to have you, especially the self-righteous, lukewarm Christians. And how many lukewarmers of today or even of yesterday have one foot in the grave, not realizing they do? Jesus does not want anything to do with you. Remember, what would Jesus do with the lukewarmers? Spit you out. So that must mean he must have a pretty powerful passion or condemnation against lukewarm Christians, true? If he's willing to say in Scripture, I'd rather spit you out. Spitting you out, not much future or eternity in it, is there? Not looking too bright. Spiritually, the Laodiceans were in a wretched, pitiful condition, made all the worse that they could not see their need. Got the blinders on. And how many of us today walking around with the blinders on, true? It might not be this reason, but it's something else. This, and here it comes, was a church filled with self-deceived hypocrites. Ooh, church and hypocrites. Has anybody ever heard those two words put together in a sentence before? Never, never. You know, I remember Pastor Bob, when I first came back here, he would always say, when you invite somebody, they say, oh, a bunch of hypocrites. And he would respond, well, tell them there's always room for one more at the end of the pew. And how true that is. Oh, how true that is. And here we go, church. Could that be many of our churches today? How many people are half-heartedly going out into the world with a dull axe when it comes to serving Jesus Christ? Remember the woodcutter? He had the enthusiasm and the desire, just not the smarts to figure it out. Figure out what the problem was. How many of us today have the enthusiasm and desire to serve God, but not the smarts? Well, Brother Jim, that's not a very nice thing to say about someone who's trying to serve God. They do not have the smarts. Again, do you think the devil cares if you got hurt feelings this morning? Do you think he really cares whether we got hurt feelings? Maybe that's a problem with our world today and our churches and the messages we are sending to the lost, or even though the people that are sitting here today. And what about our little ones? What messages are they hearing? We all want the truth to be sugar-coated with rainbows and unicorns along with sprinkles on top, don't we? How many of us like to hear the good truth, but we don't want to hear the bad truth? True? Human nature. How can you win? How can you drop the enemy to his knees with a dull-edged axe that couldn't put a dent in a coconut cream pie? Now think about that. How can you and I go out into the world when we don't take the time or see the need to ask God for boldness, to ask God for wisdom, to ask God for opportunity, for a heart for Jesus? And that is where I'm talking about the smarts, people. Good intentions. I'm going out today and I'm going to do this and that for God. God bless you. But don't you think it's wise to prepare to go out for the day? To make sure that axe is sharp. To make sure you got your armor on. Because if you're all fired up and you're going, what do you think's going to happen? Who's going to come right at you? Who's going to try to take you out right off the bat? Satan. So that's what I mean by not having the smarts. And Lord knows I've done enough dumb things in my life to see it sure does help save a lot of time and a lot of heartache and frustration to prepare yourself for battle. And on this, I want to stress the heart of Jesus, a heart of love. Knowing, acknowledging that you and I need them in order to be a winner for God, A solo act, a glory act, not going to get it done. Not even going to come close when it comes to God, true? Because eventually you're going to find out. It's going to blow up in your face. To arm ourselves with the word of God and put on the whole armor of God. To commit and become part of the solution and not part of the problem. You ever do that? Good intentions, you want to help out, and you end up causing a bigger problem than what you had before. Anybody? Yeah. Thank you, Marilyn. At least you and I talk the same lingo there. Good intentions. I want to help. Let me do this. Hey, for all the mechanics. Anybody ever hear strip a bolt, strip a head on a... Yeah, good intentions. Especially when I was young. Hey, man, back it over here. We need your strength. Uh-huh. Especially tightening up. What happens? That one extra snap. Yeah. Yes. Little things like that. And it can be the same in the world of spirituality, in the world of serving God. We need to prepare. We need to commit. You know, so many times, though, I think one of the biggest things that I'm learning, and little Richie, he turned this over early for us because I wanted to see it run out. But I think sometimes we fail to realize that our life is just like dust in the wind. Remember, for all us rockers out there from the old days, remember Kansas? Dust in the wind. We're getting there. In church, we never see the end result. Well, we're going to see it here. And for all of us over 50, how quick did it go? Hard to believe, isn't it? Now, if you go to James 4, verse 14, the New King James Version. James 4, 14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? You know, guys, probably one of the biggest hypocrites of all, used to be at least. And I'm talking about being a lukewarm Christian for God. Just doing enough to squeak by. Anybody ever do that? Remember back in school studying for a test? Just learning enough to squeak by. Showing off to the world and the people of Roxford Church or anyone looking. I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a believer. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. You can take that dog and pony show that I was putting on and toss it in the barrel of the lukewarm water. Now, that's being polite. And that's all it was a dog and pony show. How many of us here have put on a dog and pony show here in church or at an event? Be honest. You and God know. But what happens when it becomes real? That's the difference. The transformation is what I'm talking about, to where it does not become a dog and pony show. It becomes the real deal. The real deal. How many of us in the church, how many churches are putting on that show each Sunday? You know, I think about it, how even we hear sometimes, oh, we come to the Thanksgiving dinner, Brother Jim, we bring our family. Oh, we come to the big breakfast, Brother Jim. Ooh, Aunt Barb's mush, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's great, you bring people. How many people, we had 100 kids at the egg thing. How many do we have sitting here today? And that's where the frustration for me begins, and I know some of you become frustrated. They'll come to all the dog and pony shows, but they won't come to church. They won't come to what really matters. They keep drinking the nasty water. But God has something so better for them, true? Something so sweet, so pure to taste. Living water. I think sometimes we're to blame. We get complacent. Anybody admit they've been complacent in their life? Well, Brother Jim, I've been part of the women's group for 48 years. Never missed a meeting. Or I've been on a trustee for over 20 years. I've changed all the light bulbs more than anyone else in the history of the church. Well, that's all fine and dandy. I appreciate your service. But let me ask you something this morning, people. Number one, are you doing with a heart of joy? Are you doing with a heart of love, a heart of service? Are you just doing it to do it? And maybe that's the problem. We become conditioned doing it just to do it. True? We lose it. I think of the old, Kate and Todd here, conditioned with taking care of kids. It becomes everyday routine. And I hate to say it, it comes part of our Christian service sometimes too, doesn't it? The way we walk, it just becomes routine. We become lukewarm. You know, I don't know, I calmed the sarcasm down a little bit this morning. But why am I a little sarcastic? Well, I guess passionate is a better word. Passionate this morning. And you have no idea, church. Am I fired up? Yeah. I'm trying to be cool so I don't stutter and get all sweaty and knocking stuff over. And you know, I feel more, I thought about Paul Bunyan. Remember Paul Bunyan? I want to be like Paul Bunyan when it comes to serving God. That big old axe just swinging away, knocking down trees. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to go out this week? Ask God how you want it, how he wants it done. To carry his axe. To go out and slay the beast, that nasty, stinking devil, with the words of God, the armor of God, and the love of Jesus Christ in your heart. With an attitude of, I cannot and I will not fail. Attitude. Attitude. In Romans 8:3-31, out of the NIV, what then shall we say in response to these things? And I love this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's say that again together. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm going to throw out Isaiah 6:8 as well, because this is still my verse. This is the verse that started this wild, crazy ride for me. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, or here am I, send me. Well, here I am, church, trying to swing away. Good days, bad days, days I act like a knucklehead, and even some days I do all right. But I'm still swinging that axe, and I believe that's the important thing. One, I'm still swinging. You're still swinging. Am I committed to doing my part? Because my King, my God, my Lord and Savior, he knows I'm in it till the end. So let me ask you this. How many of you are in it till the end? Good days, bad days, mountains, valleys, deserts, plains. Are you willing to go the distance? And when the end comes, oh, thank you, Jesus. I couldn't help but think of Sue. What a day of rejoicing that will be when the end comes. Francis Chan wrote, as we prepare to end here, lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured so they never have to. They don't have to trust God if something unexpected happens. They have their savings account. They don't need God to help them. They have their retirement plan in place. They don't genuinely seek out what life God would have them live. They have it figured out. They have life figured out, and they have it all mapped out. They don't depend on God on a daily basis. Their refrigerators are full, and for the most part, they are in good health. The truth is, their lives wouldn't look much different if they suddenly stopped believing in God. Now think about that. How many of us in the church today, how many churches are like that? We play the part. We've got it down. But I love that part. Would our life look any different if we stopped serving God? Words to think about. For all of you who are committed and swinging your axe for God, keep that axe sharp and keep swinging. For all you lukewarmers who are just swinging a handle or barely showing up, I'm going to ask you, what's your problem? I'll be very honest and very blunt with that. What is your problem? You best figure it out before it's too late. Because there's only one person to blame, and that person is you. She's empty. How many people died this morning not knowing Christ in that time? How many lukewarmers died this morning thinking, oh, I'm on my way. Yeah, well, surprise. That's not a funny matter. I want you to think about that. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Where does Brother Jim stand if today is your last day? If this is your life and boom, that last segment of sand, that's it. Do not wait, my friends, for a more convenient time. Oh, we Americans, we love to, you know, we love our convenience, true? What better time than right now? What more appropriate time than right now? Whether you don't know God, whether you're struggling with God, you're lukewarm, whatever the case may be, I ask you, what is your problem? Because you know the truth. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There's no in between. And you decide your destiny. The time is now. Do not, I pray, do not let that hourglass run out on you. Amen.